You've been listening to All Clear from the CD Authentic Opening. I'd like to welcome all of you for tuning in to our show Dream Path, and we're broadcasting live on BBS Late Night Radio. And my Lord, we finally got here. I'm Geraldine, your co-host, and Dennis Joseph,
that's me.
You can call him DJ, is our host of the program. DJ is forthright, a musician, singer, songwriter, an actor, a comedian you will find out in days to come, teacher, student, life. Throughout the years, DJ has taught a number of spiritual and philosophical practices. And one thing I can always say about DJ is that he has never, ever deviated from that burning desire in his soul to always be who he truly, truly is, no matter what the consequences. Just imagine, DJ, we finally have found a vehicle here at BBS Late Night that allows us total freedom and expression.
Oh, I'm just so excited. I just can't.
Yeah. We have a very interesting guest speaker today, Lynn Jenkins, who will be discussing with us how her therapy work has been used to control mood disorders without prescription drugs.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to call in during the program with your comments or questions, the number to call in U.S. is 1-877-708-714. And the direct number to call in is 1-530-876-9026. DJ, would you like to take it over from here?
Well, I sure would. Thank you. You're doing so well. Thank you for that introduction. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, all listeners, to DreamPad. And we do have a special guest that we'll be bringing on in about 5 minutes or so. But I'd like to, at this point in time, let you know how we got here and what PBS
Radio. Do you really have to tell this story?
Well, see, actually, our guest, Lynn Jenkins, was with us way back on February the 3rd when late night talk radio was being initiated, and so were we. And it was a very interesting process. For us, it started like this countdown. Okay, we're ready to go, Dennis. It's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And I went, where's the music? Well, there's no music. Okay. And, of course, we couldn't get a hold of Lynn, and there was interruptions. There were so many things going on in the background here. I believe there is an archive of this, but it's going to be called Bloopers. So we want to listen to that first.
Well, yeah, definitely. It might not be for the public at all.
It might not be. It might not be. But afterwards, I would have to say that we had a lot of fun because we were laughing till about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
For the next week.
For the next week.
That's how we have to clear the pain.
But we're here, and we're so glad you joined us. DreamPath is something that Jer and I have been working together on for a number of years. We met, is it 15 years ago?
Well, a good 15, yeah.
And we've had many adventures together. And I'm sure we're going to bring up a number of them as we go along with the shows. And what I'd like to do now is introduce our very special guest. And her name is Lynn Jenkins. Now, Lynn is a professional rebirther, Reiki master, artist, author, and motivational speaker. She's a cranial sacral practitioner, NLP master practitioner, and a member of the Canadian Board of Natural Health Care Practitioners. Lynn, finally, welcome to DreamPath.
Hi, Dennis. I can't believe we finally made it, all three of us at the same time.
To hear your voice, we're connected.
Oh. Go ahead, Lynn.
What would you like to know? Where would you like me to start?
Well, you know, you're probably... Now, I have to say, we're coming from Toronto, Canada, Ontario, Canada. And Toronto is the largest city in Canada. And Lynn is so well known throughout the spiritual and healing community. But I think probably what you're best known for is rebirthing. Is that not true?
Yes, it is. Rebirthing, in case anybody doesn't know what it is a form of breath therapy. And we do different breathing rhythms to release stress and tension out of the body. And it's very successful because it releases cellular memory. And whatever we don't heal, we pass on. So we can be born angry or sad or worried, and it can be things that, you know, no matter how long we're in talk therapy, we'll never remember because it's just cellular memory, and it could be ours, something that happened in the womb, or it could be something that was passed, you know, through the genes and the DNA. So that's what we try to do. And for myself,
You work into the cells and the DNA of an individual when you're rebirthing through the breath?
Yes, because sometimes we can't access our feelings, and most of us are very disconnected from our feelings. And especially if something happened to us when we were in the womb or the way we were delivered, that starts to become a pattern in our life. Because especially for the baby, when it's in the womb for 9 months, 24 hours a day, if the mother is doing something, or you know, if she's smoking, or if she's angry, the baby, that's the first time it will react to stress or pressure. And those early patterns start to become our blueprint of how we see life or how we react to life.
Now, when you the practice of rebirthing itself, now you work with different individuals, and you work with the breath. You take them, what, back to a place of these different dilemmas in their life so that they can resurface and get rid of them? Is that, or to clear them?
No, it's sort of like, it's the type of breathing we do. We take in a lot of prana, or energy that's in the air around us. And basically, the energy that made us, it knows where it has to go and what it has to do in the body to release the memories. So we don't, like, plan it at all. Like, the first session I had, I thought, oh, I'll work out some anger towards one of my parents. And that wasn't what came up at all. And sometimes it's just sadness that comes up, or anger. You might not even have a memory of the specific episode. It's just tension and memories being released from the body.
And how does this help the individual? I mean, what kind of results do you see when you're working with individuals to rebirthing?
I can tell you, everybody's different, and it's like doing a detox. And I know myself, like when I do a detox, I start to make healthier choices for myself. And like I don't want to eat greasy food anymore, or drink, you know, Pepsi or pop. And as we start to clear out the tension and the stress and the repressed memory out of the body, it's like putting on a new pair of glasses and getting really focused in life and knowing where you're going and what you're doing. I used to be in real estate and a very safe job in the government. And in Canada, nobody ever quits a government job because, you know, they're going to... Well, it's true. And when I did, everybody thought, oh, she must be menopausal or something, you know, is the matter with me? But I believe in this work so much that when I started doing it, within a few months, I had changed my eye prescription 3 times for lesser... for lesser prescriptions. And also, I am manic depressive, and they had me on like a ton of drugs. And as I got rid of all of the bad feelings I had stuffed in my life, then I could let go of the drugs because I wasn't swinging out of balance anymore.
Now, you talk to a lot of people about this. I mean, you are well known throughout the spiritual and healing community, but you do go out. You're a motivational speaker. You talk to groups. You bring this awareness of being drug-free. Because you yourself have been drug-free for 24 years now, I believe.
Yes, at least, yes.
And there's a lot of advantage, right?
Well, I finally have a life, because when I was on the drugs, it was like I wasn't up, I wasn't down, I wasn't happy, I wasn't sad, I wasn't anything. I was just like a zombie. And what really bothers me is that we're such a pill-popping society, and although I've tried to reach as many people as I can, most people feel like, you know, they're much safer just popping their pill. And the other thing is, a lot of people don't want to do the work or take the steps that they have to do to be balanced.
But
for example,
do you help people with those kinds of steps?
Yes, I do.
Are these classes that you give, or is it one-on-one, or is it both, or a number of these?
I give talks, and then last year I was advertising and teaching, you know, small classes from my apartment. But like I said, like a lot of people don't want to do the emotional work, you know, get rid of their fear or their anger or their sadness, or they don't want to let go of the past. And so, you know, it's much easier to just pop a pill, because... You know, the way we bring up our kids, too, men aren't supposed to cry and women aren't supposed to be angry. And for some women who come to me, it's terrifying for them to get into their anger. And for, you know, so many men, they don't want to get into ever admitting that they ever felt fear in their life or sadness. So it's easier to just, you know, stuff everything.
So this helps to bring it out. Now, have you ever had anyone, after a session, just start laughing hysterically?
Laughing hysterically.
Laughing and feeling.
Some people do, and some people have the most spiritual experiences of their life. And then one time I had a man, and at the end of the session, he started undoing all his buttons. And I thought, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm going down the birth canal, and I can't put out with my clothes on. And before I could say, oh, Jack, be quick, he was lying there, like, stark naked. So it was a little bit...
I'm sure you've had lots of interesting experiences.
I've had people in the middle of a session get hungry because, you know, maybe sometimes when they were in the room, they weren't getting nourished enough. And I've had to go out and start, you know, making toast or getting them a pudding or, and different clients like crave different foods even.
Mm-hmm.
So no two people are the same. Excuse me. But no two people are the same.
That's true. That is so true. So you treat each individual as an individual. Now, you have other other practices, other things. Like, you are a Reiki master. Do you bring things like that into the processes at different times? Or do you combine your different...
No. No, I keep each process clean, and I really try not to combine. Because in rebirthing, we don't touch the person at all. Because, like I said, the breath knows where it has to go in the body to release the emotions. And I find so many of the therapies that are out there, the therapists themselves are intruding and telling the person what the issue is, or, you know, they'll be putting their hands on the person in a place maybe where the person wasn't even noticing, or, you know, that's not where the energy was going. So I just try to get them to be in charge of their own healing, and I kind of get in their body and breathe for them, and they know when they've done enough.
So you're just saying, yeah, okay. You know, I'm sure it's very, very important that people in the mainstream, as it were, are beginning to be enlightened by some of these practices, just the knowledge that you've gained for yourself and for those that you're helping. Who have you approached with your findings in the mainstream, as it were? Is there the medical profession, all the different psychiatric profession, all of these different things? Have you worked with any of those individuals?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I've been on TV, you know, about 7 times, but...
Right.
A lot of times the medical profession, the natural therapies are still a threat to the medical profession. I know in Toronto, like, a third of their business has gone to the natural therapies. And there's a lot of people who are malpracticing, like, what I find hard about the New Age is that people will bypass taking the appropriate trainings or courses. And they will, oh, well, my guides will tell me what to do, or I read a book on this therapy, and I know I can do it. And that sort of gives us a bad name. So mostly I'm low-key, and one of the reasons is that a couple of years ago in Colorado, a little girl, they were doing detachment therapy on her, and this therapist took the little girl and wrapped her in a blanket, and then 4 adults pressed down on the child and told her she had to wiggle her way out of the blanket. And when the child protested and said, I can't breathe and, I'm going to die, they just kept on talking about real estate, and they said to the kid, well, just die then. And 1 hour and 10 minutes later, they undid the blanket and the child was unconscious and in a coma, and she ended up dying. And the therapist and the adoptive mother got, I think, 16 years in prison. Well, rebirthing was on every headline, and it was on 3 murder programs, and it was on 2020 and NBC News. And for years there, I hardly survived in my profession. And even to this day, if I say to somebody, well, I'm a rebirther, they still look at you like you're a 21st century witch.
That's what I find it really had nothing to do with rebirthing, though.
Because, a therapist can regress somebody back to their childhood or back, a past life therapist, or they can hypnotize somebody. But just because somebody regressed somebody to birth, it doesn't mean they're a rebirther.
Your practice itself is very gentle, very loving, very in tune with the individual that you're working with, is my understanding. Because, I have to tell everybody here, Lynn Jenkins is a friend, and we've known her for, I've known her for about 10 years now. And Jared's known her for even longer, haven't you?
Over 15, yeah.
And I mean, there are so many people that I'll be saying, oh, hi, Lynn, and so you'll always be introducing me to somebody new, helping them with their projects, helping people with all kinds of different things that they're interested in, as well as what you're doing. I don't know how you find the time to do all of these things.
Well, that's why my house is always a mess.
Your house?
My apartment is always a mess, yeah. But you were saying about having, like, a gentle approach, and I think the whole trick with natural therapists is we've been through the process ourselves, and if I hadn't been on the table and gone through it many, many times, then I wouldn't know what was happening to the person on the table. So I know what I like when I'm on the table, and that's for nobody to interfere with me. So that's what I try to do with the person who's on the table. So I'm always just like monitoring their breath. And the other thing that's different with rebirthing is that we don't get into acting out at all, or, like in a lot of therapies, I look at why people don't heal, and really all they're doing is dumping, is they're catharting. So if somebody has like fear or anger or sadness coming up, we just put them into a different breathing rhythm and make them stay in the breath. And like within, seconds, it'll have just cleared out of them.
Just by changing the breath pattern.
Yes, because otherwise, if you're catharting, all you're really doing is re-traumatizing your nervous system. In other words, like if you're getting angry today and banging and hitting the Chesterfield with a baseball bat, to release anger you had at your father 20 years ago, you might have like gotten rid of the one episode, but now you've created another angry day in your life.
I believe Jerry has a question for you.
Actually, you got all thrown off there. Lynn, I know you've gone through a lot to come to this point in your life, and we are living in this new energy now where we're remaining positive and full of joy. But if you could just maybe touch briefly with our listeners and let them know how you came about to even discover the therapy, how you were diagnosed with manic depression, and basically how you were treated by people initially. Like, we're going back when I don't think that much was known about the disease when you were diagnosed. So
exactly.
There was a totally different approach there. Do you have any comments that you'd like to discuss?
Yes, I would. It's only been the last couple of years that I've really gotten to know anything about my condition. And I had always, all my life, blamed myself, like I'm just some wild and crazy chick, And then I read this book by Stephanie Marone on the Natural Guide to Manic Depression or Bipolar. And I learned it's a serious illness. And a lot of the guilt and the shame, left me. But I've gone over and over all my life, why I was the way I was and how did it happen and that. And the two factors that stand out to me the most is that and this isn't to judge them or blame, but I was raised in a British family where you stuffed all of your feelings, all bad feelings, you know, if you had a sad face or whatever, go to your room until you're ready to come out and be human again. And then my father came back from the war, an alcoholic, and our emotions would all get stuffed while we sort of rode the roller coaster with his mood swings and his, you know, binges. And I certainly didn't come from a bad family. A lot of people came back from the war very disturbed. And my father wasn't an everyday drinker. He could go for months and never take a drink, and then one day he'd have one and he'd be gone for a week. So at home, life was serious, and I would just be quiet and stuff everything. And then when I got out of the house, I would just go crazy and just live my life. So the energy patterns got started early, and when I was in my late 20s, I was in at work, a lot of the people were in this sort of movement called, well, I won't tell you what it was, but it was a therapy movement, and we all joined, and they got me into it, and within no time, like, all of my time, all of my money, all of my energy was with this group, and they cut me off from my family. And then I lived in a group house with 33 people, and we did these marathon weekends, and one weekend they started to, you know, put me in the hot seat. It was called Gestalt therapy. And I started, all the feelings and stuff started coming out, and they kept coming and coming. And make a long story short, by the end of the week, I had, I was in, you know, the hospital, and they had declared me manic depressive. So I was put on tons of drugs, and it scarred my face, it ruined my eyes. And it went on like this for years, like, and then I would try to come off them, and one, and nobody ever told me that if you just stop taking them that you'll flip out again, so then they'd throw me back in the hospital. And this went on, and, you know, finally one day I said, there's got to be a better way. And I was in my 40s, and somebody had told me about something called rebirthing, and I went and I tried it. And that was really the beginning of, you know, my whole life changing, because once I got rid of the drugs, that, you know, stopped taking them, and I didn't do it, like, without my doctor's permission, and I did it over time.
You took your time doing this. It was over a period of what, months, years?
Years. Because I was on all kinds of things, sleeping pills. Sleeping pills were the worst things to come off. Oh, boy. But there was no information about it. It was never talked about in my family. I would have an episode, and then it was just, you know, pick myself up by the bootstrings and, you know, face the world again. And so I'm still working today because I don't really have any pension, because I was in and out of jobs all my life. Like, you know, I'd quit a job and then have to go and start all over again. And now, you know, there's a mood disorder association, and you know, we still don't talk about it. And it's very sad because, you know, if somebody hits you with a car, or if a germ gives you a disease, you know, if it's physical, or if, you know, we've got all the money in the world for research, cancer, AIDS, you name it. But if it's anything mental or emotional, it's like, shh, nobody talk about it, you know. And
you've done this. You had a job with the government, and you've been working and dealing with this disease, as it were, and really finding all kinds of ways to help yourself to get to a balance in your life. And you've been offering your services now for 20 years, and you're still going. You know, if people want to get in touch with you, they can reach you on your website. I believe it's www.rebirthingplus.com.
.com.
I like rebirthing plus.com.
Well, I do more than rebirthing. Even though we're not allowed to touch people, you know, I set the room up, I have crystals, and, you know, I just try and do everything with the person. Because actually, I call it rebirthing plus because the real true form of rebirthing, they give people affirmations and all kinds of things like that, and I sort of just keep it very grounded and very straight and very clean, the therapy.
Now you have quite a few people seeing you. One of the things that I want to talk about, because it's very near and dear to myself, is the Aboriginal influences, the Native influences. I mean, for myself and Jera, we quite often just go out into the forest and start drumming and chanting and just feeling the spirit of the time and the place. And quite often when you're doing something like that, it's something that's very in the heart, something that you really want to express. And this is a wonderful way of expressing it. And I understand, of course, now you have your own drumming group. You also work with some of the spiritual teachings from that. I mean, it is an influence for you. Is that correct?
It's interesting you say that because, you know, as a being on my healing quest, trying to find myself, I mean, in the beginning I was reading books on how to be happy or how to be angry, or I didn't know how to do anything. And I think the books that impressed me the most were a lot of the Native books, especially The Medicine Wheel. And that's how I started to look at my health from what they call the four directions, which is mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual, or earth, air, fire, and water. So when I started to look at those directions, I started to really break it down and physically, you know, what do I need in my life? How many hours sleep do I need? Not how many does society want me to have, but how many do I need to feel good? You know, what kind of foods are good for me? So I've been checking out my allergies and make sure that I get to the gym. And if I have all these emotions, you know, I am quite an emotional, sensitive person, then, you know, have a strong body to contain them in. And then I had to start working on the mental. And I realized that I had a very, you know, from my family, I think, a critical, you know, judgmental attitude. And I was always making myself wrong, or you'll drop it, you'll break it, you'll lose it. And I didn't even think I was negative. So it's a daily battle to watch my thoughts and not to get into obsessive thinking, like going over and over the same problem. And then
I'm sure we all do that at some point in our lives, or, you know, even today.
it's called broken record. and then I had to look at, you know, spiritually, like, and by spiritual I mean, am I taking time to relax, to pray, to meditate, or to build my energy again, and then, you know, watch my emotions, that I am not just feeling the whole world's emotions, but what I, you know, boundaries, like, what are my emotions and my responsibilities, and what are somebody else's emotions and theirs. So, like, I'm daily just, like, working what I call the four directions, and, If I look at a lot of people who are with mood disorders, many people have got, you know, very bad diets. They're not eating their vegetables. They're not getting their calcium. Or people that, you know, are never exercising. And then they wonder why, you know, they're sluggish or depressed. And our society doesn't encourage people to express their emotions. You know, we're supposed to be perfect people with perfect lives. And, you know, have a nice day. But we really don't want to hear if the other person is not having a nice day or not. Mm-hmm. So it's always like, it's very simple if you can break your health into those four categories, and what do you need in each of those four categories?
Well, we are coming up to almost the halfway point, and Lynn, stay with us.
Okay.
And what I'd like to talk about, and this has been fascinating, thank you, is some of the other things that you do as well, the artistic things.
Okay.
As well. And as a writer and as an author, right? So we're going to take a little break. We're going to bring in a song called from the our album Authentic, and it's called Celtic. And so if everyone would like to listen to that, we'll be back with Lynn Jenkins. And we'll be back with the artist and the author, Lynn Jenkins. So if you're there, take it away. You're listening to BBS Radio.
Are they playing it?
No, they're not.
We don't know.
Yes, Vicki, come on. Well, if these are one of the things that we requested because it's always nice to have a break with music. And
are we still on?
Well, we could be. We very well because. I'm not
if we are, we're certainly boring people.
I'm not hearing the music.
So we got that lined up anyway. It's a little song called Celtic, and it's a buoyant way of sort of coming into the show, right in the middle of the show, and coming back again. And also to introduce Lynn, you've done this for me. I remember just coming over to a little gathering. Of yours that you were having, and I was kind of putting my CDs in my bag and keeping them nice and hidden, and Lynn would say, "Oh, everybody, did you know that Dennis has got this new CD, and it's tremendous, and it's wonderful, and you've got to listen to it," and sure enough, by the end of the gathering or whatever, a few people would be kind enough to pick it up and listen to it. And this is the kind of thing that you do all the time. This is my observation.
Thank you. Networking, it's called.
They do promote other people's work, what they do. If there's someone talking to you about something that's particular to them that's really important to them, and, I know someone who can help you with that. Perhaps you'd like to just, talk about some of the people you know, what they do, those kinds of things.
One of the things we were doing was we were running. Oh no, I better not say that. I better say something else. A friend of mine. I might step on some toes if I say that. So better, we'll change the subject. A friend of mine at Boogie Wall, I think she's got an amazing idea, and it's called boogiewall.com, and she's trying to draw something like BBS Radio, draw artists together and develop, we're all helping each other to excel in the world and working together, and I think that we're looking for land even down in Puerto Rico or somewhere where we could just have some kind of a commune, because the actual artist in Toronto or in Canada, I think, makes about less than $15,000 a year. So the people that, contribute, beauty to society, whether it's a dancer or a writer or a violin player, I mean, the old saying of the starving artist, it's certainly true. And
artists are just amazing. They come here to Toronto. We have so many really, truly brilliant people that come to Toronto, whether to live here or to bring their art here, and they're not necessarily wealthy in the sense of making lots of money from it, but what they're doing is just amazing, and this is I'm sure one of them.
Well, I also think that in North America, especially, we don't have the same values as the Europeans do. For example, this week I met a little boy from Bulgaria, and he was only 11, and the parents had him playing the violin. But we don't push culture here. We're more of a, hockey night or baseball, football country. And so I think we have many, many talented artists and musicians in North America, but, they're just not really recognized. And you can
they're getting more and more recognized now.
Yes.
And I think we're making a lot of headway. I mean, BBS Radio is just, is a very good example of it. I mean, for us, we only came across, Login service. And, originally when we...
I apologize. Did you guys want to play a track? Yeah.
Did I miss that? Because
yeah.
So you know what? Let's jump off. I'll put the track right on. We'll play. I guess you guys wanted to play the Celtic, correct?
Yes.
Let's play it. You guys want to play it?
All right.
Okay. I love you guys. Okay, here we go. Audience, play down.
Keep that train of thought.
Well, it appears that we are going to hear the music.
And we're back. Oh, boy. And that was Celtic from our CD, Authentic, the opening. A nice little tune. And we're here with Lynn Jenkins, but we have a few announcements to make. Or we're going to get to the announcements to make. We do have some future guests, and we'll let you know about that. One of the things I'd like to do at this time is just a wee bit about the CD, Authentic, the opening. Authentic and its title is totally inspired by the teachings of Beloved Saint. Now, that's part of what's written in the CD itself. And the reason being is about back in June 2006, there was a very strong influence. There was this contest going on, and they said, send your CD in, and the winner will get $2,000. And at that time, I thought, well, no, I don't have a CD. I mean, I really wish I had a CD, but this was a totally inspired time. Suddenly, out of nowhere, the thoughts came on how to actually put something together. And within just a few weeks' time, it was actually done, packaged, and sent out. And right up until this time, until we were looking for somewhere to actually get it played. And so that's why I say it was inspired by St. Germain.
Yeah,
that energy.
That was all done within 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. It was amazing.
Album cover, everything.
It just went whoosh. And it is a compilation of recordings from around the time of the millennium, many of which were recorded with the drone of E flat minor in the background. Now, in ancient times, this note was considered to be a vibrational frequency that should be totally banned from all existence, as the potentials of infinite creation were at the forefront when this tone was either sung or played on a musical instrument. Isn't that interesting? So,
wow.
For those who have followed the wisdom of Saint Germain, it is apparent that now, more than ever, is definitely the time to break through the outdated paradigms, to get out of the box, so to speak, and to totally express, with sincerity, our authentic self, whoever that may be. It is indeed a choice to be experiencing this wonderful healing journey.
That about sums it up.
And,
oh.
Yeah, and this is
then there's this little blurb.
Yeah, this is something that, you know, Dreamhouse, and we're going to be asking you this later, Lynn, too, because we're going to ask you something here. It might be a little bit of a surprise, but we'll get you later. The miracle of life expresses itself through you. You are your greatest gift. The doors are open, my friends. Walk through the opening with me and discover the wonder of what you are becoming. Welcome to the new energy. Believe in yourself. The answers have always been there within you, but only now are they being realized in their new understanding. Life is an ever unfolding celebration. And for us, that's exactly what's been happening, especially in the year 2007. It's been a truly exciting time. We've met so many people over the internet, talking to people on the phone. And it's so wonderful to have you here, Lynn, because you've birthed us through this process over the last few weeks. And I really want to thank you for being so wonderfully patient with us. Lynn has turned up every Saturday evening to be here with us, and we know it, we're on the air. So thank you, Lynn. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, anything in those statements that you, that I just, well, what I was just talking about, authentic, does any of that ring with you in any way? Does that churn anything?
Well, what I'm really feeling these days is I can't be with people that are into their victim consciousness or poor me's. It's just like I realize that they're not creating at all. They're just, you know, deceiving. And I find I can't stay with people very long in a room or on the phone with people if they're just, you know, not taking responsibility for their lives.
Well, I think that's part of our mission as light workers is to make these people feel comfortable in who they truly are and just start, my God, just start one small step in the direction that you want to go in your life. And
so many people give their power away.
Yeah.
You know, they give it to psychics or, you know, ask everybody else, tell me what to do or what should I be? Well, you decide, you know, focus on what you want. Too many people focus on what they don't want. One of the things I was going to say to you, Dennis, is with artists especially, you know, it's very hard for us to market ourselves. And I know with you, I've always known that you've been a wonderful artist and singer, but then especially when you've had a family and you have to hold down a job, it's very difficult to find the time to create. And then if you have to try to find the time to market yourself after you've created, it's exhausting.
Do you know what, Randy?
Yeah.
He creates through me. He thinks, and I am the one that's getting it out on paper, or you know. It,
that is so true.
Jared, you want to come on and live over here? Can I hire you?
Such a synergy. It's like we both know the work that has to be done, and we really don't even have to log it or discuss. You know, we'll put out the idea, and we know exactly who's going to play what role to carry it to its completion. It's an awesome journey, and we're just having a blast with this. And
well, that's what you call teamwork.
Yeah. Teamwork, and we never quarrel, and we never fight, and we never disagree. We're always in sync.
No, no.
Boy, if you believe that, you believe anything.
He knows I'm always right. I'm always right.
Boy, the phones are going to be ringing off the hook soon.
So, Lynn, you are multifaceted. You are an artist as well in so many ways. I have seen, I have been to your place, your residence. I have seen art all over the walls. I see it on your cards. They're just beautiful. I mean, they really communicate. I mean, I love your cards. I send them out. What got you into painting and making this beautiful art that you do?
Well, you know, when I was a child, I always turned to art like as a way out of the world I was living in. So I always colored and did anything that was like creative. But my mother especially didn't like it. So most of my life, I you know, being an artist was like frowned upon, and it wasn't until about the last 20 years that I picked up, you know, some brushes and some pencils and just started doodling and doing things. And I started off making my own cards, and because it was too expensive to buy them. And then I started selling them to various stores in the neighborhood, and they go quite well. But the thing that I find is it's very difficult, like, for me to, you know, distribute them myself. So I just basically sell them at craft shows or in my own neighborhood. You know, three or four stores carry them, and they're on my website. So it's my way of sort of balancing my life between some of the terrible things I hear during the day with some of my clients, and, you know, bringing some beauty and grace back into my life. And then from the cards, we started making T-shirts, and, you know, one thing leads to another.
Well, it's the personal touch to it. They're invaluable. And once again, you can see that. Well, you can see that on our site here at DreamPath. But if you go to www.rebirthingplus.com, you can see some of the artwork there as well, and order it, or go for a session. Now, another thing that you're doing, and you know, we'll come back to the art, because this is all art, this is all self-expression. It's something that I had a chance to read, or got a few excerpts from, which is known as Daddy Diaries.
I really didn't bring that up. Oh.
I call them the doggy diaries.
Well,
and
they are sort of
daddy diary. Why is it called? Again, this
because
is a book very much.
Okay, the daddy diaries are written by a little dog called Gus, and he writes a little story every day to his two dads who are at work. And how all this came about is that I live in an apartment building in downtown Toronto. And there were two young men in my building who one day I saw outside with a little puppy. And I realized that they must be having to come home every day at lunch to feed him and take him out to go to the washroom because he wasn't really toilet trained yet. So I offered my services to them, and they actually took me up on it. Originally, like, I wasn't planning on getting paid. I just thought, well, I work at home. I could easily run them out. And they started to pay me. But the very first day I went to walk the dog, they had left me about a page and a half of instructions, and I started to get really nervous. You know, I had, they got me special, like, pooper scooper mitts and to wear, and he had his little treats, and I was supposed to carry him to the elevator so he didn't, you know, leak on the way before he got outside. And every time he went to the bathroom, I was to give him a treat, and I was supposed to give him a lot of praise. And so I had all of these, you know, rules or you know, bits of information. And I suddenly thought, like, you know, it's just like having a child. Like, they must be worried, like, they didn't know me, and they must wonder, like, you know, what I did or if the dog was okay. So the very first day, I wrote them a little story, but I wrote it to them from the dog's point of view, like what he thought of me and where we went and what we did and that. And then the next day I did it again, and the next day again, and the fellow started to like it so much they gave me a raise, and I walk the dog 4 days a week now. And every day it gets more and more elaborate because I take pictures and I put pictures in, and we've become very good friends in that, and they're moving in June, and I'm going to be just destroyed when this little dust goes and leaves me. So he and I have this running, pardon me?
Are you going to be able pardon to me? Finish the whole, I understand, is the book finished? Is this, or is
no,
it
it'll finish in June. It'll finish in June when he goes.
Is it going to be a sad ending? Or is it
it'll be happy. I mean, they're threatening to build me a granny house at the bottom of their garden. And but the dog and I have this running sort of battle between us. Like, he's always out to get me, and I'm always doing something to him. And so it gets kind of funny as it goes along.
And you have little costumes you take him out in?
That was only in Halloween, he was Batman. But last week he just strutted his stuff. He had a little T-shirt on and a little black cape and a little black hat with the bat ears on it. And we went by one restaurant and everybody clapped. But last week was Valentine's, so I went to a store and I found these Batman Valentines. And then Gus and I went to every store, like a lot of stores in the neighborhood like them, and not the food stores, but like the hardware store, the beer store, the bookstore, and they keep a bag of treats behind the counter. And so he knows exactly, like, you know, when we're getting close to the store, and he'll just race there for his treat. So we went and we gave everybody along the street who had been nice to him a Batman Valentine.
A Batman Valentine?
Yeah.
Do you have any little excerpts there from your book?
I do, and just this week, we put some on the website under What's New. It says The Daddy Diaries, and you can see a picture of Gus. And Gus is now 8 months old, and he's part beagle, part schnauzer, and part terrier. So I'll read you one day's entry, and the build-up is that Gus, like, for about the first 6 months, was doing girl pee-pees. And one day I had him outside, and he lifted his leg but against the post, but nothing came out. But he was getting the message. And he also had this girlfriend that he met on the street one day, Sadie. And Sadie was a white dog with brown spots. So this is the Daddy Diaries, week 2, day 3. Dear daddies, dearest daddies, daddies dear, my dear daddies, dear, dear daddies, will you still love me if I have been a naughty boy? Will you still buy me treats and play with me if you know I have brought great shame on our family? If I have tarnished your impeccable reputations, will you still take me to the park? I did something really bad and you will be cross with me. I couldn't help it. The devil made me do it. Love can do strange things to one, can't it? I guess I should start at the beginning. My auntie, that's what he calls me, came to get me today, and our big walk took us over across the back streets up Madison Avenue, through the laneway between the boutique and the pub, and over to the Native Center on Spadina Avenue. I did a big wiggly one once we turned the corner, and she had to carry it at arm's length for a half block before she found a waste can I couldn't stop snickering. What a wuss. That was not what got me into trouble, though. We walked back across Bloor Street so I would not have as many lawns to poke around and try to dig up. Suddenly, I saw Sadie, this large white posterior was beckoning me from the distance. I remember what Lynn had said, and I was not going to sniff her until I had given her a few licks and a kiss. I ran up to her and kissed her on her butt a few times and gave her a few long licks. Suddenly, Sadie reared on her feet and gave a huge gasp. Lynn gave me a quick tug back, and I heard her apologizing profusely to the young woman who had been bending over tying her shoelace. Women, in my opinion, should not be allowed to wear hip-hugger pants that show their thong and bare butt to the world. How was I to know this white flesh and brown jeans was not Sadie? Sure looked like it from where I was standing. Daddies, I am sorry. I'm not a midget pervert, you know. I got class. I got manners. I just thought it was my little Sadie. Oh, where is she? Yesterday, I met a grouch called Snoozer, who just took one look at me and was envious of my good looks. He tried to charge me, but Lynn was faster. She said his name was more like Loser because he had such a bad disposition. Maybe Snoozer had not had a snooze. I'm sorry about the lady daddies. Honestly, confidentially, I think I give her a bit of a thrill. What do you think? Am I forgiven? Your loving child, Gus.
Now, Lynn, do you think that maybe you're channeling this dog?
I think so. When I was in high school, we were supposed to write a story or a biography of a famous person, and I couldn't think of anybody that I could write about. So I invented this whole story about Fanny S.S. Flisk, the flea, and she lived on a dog called Boswell III. So suddenly, Gus became Boswell. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how this started, but we're now into about the fifth or sixth months, and he's still getting into trouble. And one day I tried to spike his hair with, you know, like the punk rockers do. So the fellas never know what I'm going to do to the dog, and the poor dog never knows what I'm going to do to it either. But he's the cutest little thing.
Well, you know,
really
the animals, our pets seem to be, there's the theory that they're evolving or along with us. I think there's some truth to that. Jara has a little example here for
friends. We have a friend, Ruby Campbell, down in Oregon, and she sent me an email, and she actually channels her dog. And if I may, I'll read. If I can see this, okay. I just went to get the kids from the groomer, and Tia came puffing out of the back room and immediately said, "Get this darn thing out of my hair." So I reached down and pulled out a little pink ribbon. One of the women asked if she was pulling on her hair, and I said no and told her what Tia said. She looked askance at me and was certain she had a nutcase on her hands. So then Tia told me that one of the women fed her animal and she was so starving she didn't have the willpower to not eat it. I asked about this as on their charts it is listed that they are vegetarian. One woman adamantly said that didn't happen when the other piped in that she had made some special treats that morning out of desiccated liver and didn't know Tia couldn't have it, so gave her a couple. Now they think they are crazy. I calmly announced to them both that Tia talks. So, placating me?
Yeah, placating me, yeah.
I'm trying to read without my glasses. One asked what else she had to say. Bad move. Tia proceeds to tell me that they are not as nice as they pretend to be.
As we take a sip of water and continue.
Oh, yes. And I'm interpreting all along. And to prove it, they were all sweet to a woman who came in and picked up her little white fluffy dog. And after she left, they called her a B blank blank CH. And on chattered Ms. Tia with a litany of examples. After a few minutes, I said, okay, Tia, I have the picture now. And turned around, and both women were absolutely stunned. They were standing there attempting to process what they were in the middle of hearing, seeing, knowing, and they just couldn't speak. So I chirped in and told them that if they'd like to know ways to stand in their truth more fully, give Tia a call. She'd be glad to help them out, and merrily I walked out the door. We're going to actually have Ruby on the show 1 week. She's just a wealth of information. She's got a beautiful healing temple. She does therapy work. And she channels animals. So we'll be having her on in the future.
Yeah, that's, you know, when I hear something, you know, everybody out there who's listening, the Daddy Diaries are just tremendous. You've got to go to the site if you want to get some insight and have a nice chuckle listening to what's happening on this journey. And all you have to do is go to www.rebirthingplus.com. And Lynn, it's so good to have you here with us. No, I told you.
Thank you.
It's Dylan. You're most welcome. I told you just after the break that I'd have a little surprise for you.
Uh-oh.
You know, this is going to be something that we're going to do, hopefully with all our guests. The name of our show is Dream Path. We are known on the internet as dreampath.ca. And, you know, all of us have something deep in our hearts that really is so special to ourselves. But, you know, what's so unique about who we are is also true about everyone in the world. Billions and billions of people who are now listening to BBS Radio. There really is something within us that we express through the arts, we express through healing practices, we express in so many different ways. And what I'm coming to on this with you, Lynn, is what is, if it could be any way you want in the world, if you could wave your wand, what is your true heart's desire?
Oh, that we would get out of such negativity and such fear. I feel like the whole world is in fear at the moment. Every day it's something different. Excuse me. When I was growing up, we only heard the news for 5 minutes at lunchtime, and that was enough. And now we have, you know, we're in everybody's divorce, everybody's rape, everybody's murder, everybody's car crash, everybody's war. And I think we're all just running on empty. And I find that very sad. And I wish that the whole world could just slow down a bit. I think technology, instead of us controlling it, it's controlling us, and we're going faster and faster. And I see so many people just not coping. I mean, I hardly know anybody who's not on some kind of a pill. So that's what I would like, slow down, see the world get simplified, because, this global warming, I think, is a real... Here comes Atlantis all over again. You know, we screwed up with technology then, and we're doing it now.
Yeah, you know, and that is so true. You know, I really don't read the papers. I don't watch TV anymore. And quite truthfully, the medium that I'm listening to the most, if there is a medium, is things like BBS Radio, because there's so much to explore, and there's so many different individuals, so many hosts. We have, what, 66 hosts?
Something like that, yeah.
There's a lot of hosts. different programs for different interests. You know, some might be of more interest to others and so on. There is a huge variety where people can discuss and communicate those things. I mean, there's a whole music channel. I mean, 24 hours that is going continuously with music that is not mainstream. If it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio is their theme. And so there are things like this where the positive, the way to what you can do is you know, sure, we talk about other things that are going on in life, but I think now with the new energy, with what is happening for a lot of people who are waking up to who they are and what they can do. I think this is a big part of the question of the true heart's desire. Do you see more of that happening? Do you feel optimistic that things can change?
I see glimpses every now and then, and I think it was very good that this week, Justin Trudeau, his son was on TV. He's going to run for politics in Quebec. And I remember what he said. He said, my father told me that every day do something good for this world. And if everybody thought of that, just one little thing, like what thing can I do today? Can I buy a recycling bag? Or can I, take less plastic bags home? Can I walk instead of taking my car? If we all thought of what good we could do for the world every day, I think it would be a better place. And then I think Oprah coming on TV with, twice now she's been on featuring a DVD called The Secret and talking about the law of attraction and how we attract things to us. If we could all get that, then there would be no more victims,
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I also remember there was a healer called Carolyn Mace, and she had a book out called Why People Don't Heal. And she said there's two reasons. There's a payoff, they're not letting go, or there's a forgiveness problem. And I think too many of us are living in the past and juicing old wounds and putting the energy into them. I mean, every year we see Marilyn Monroe's death revisited and the Holocaust revisited and 9/11 revisited, and we just keep juicing old wounds instead of putting energy into the future.
Juicing the
or
good
the present.
Stuff.
Yes.
Juicing
yeah.
stuff. And, as you said, The Secret was on Oprah. She had two different guests on there. We're seeing more and more of that now coming onto what is known as the mainstream. But we certainly feel a growth here. We're getting very close to the close, believe it or not, of this show, and we're not quite there yet because we're just going to announce a few of the upcoming guests. But before we do that, thank you so much for joining us on DreamPath, being our very first guest, and it's so appropriate as the person that you are. You're very kind. You have a wonderful heart, and you're a wonderful healer and an artist. And thank you very, very much for joining us.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you for having me. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Lynn.
We'll be featuring David Obrey Berger, and he has a background as a professor at York University and is director of the Education Institute and Alayla Festival here in Toronto. And he's recently published a book called The Power of the Circle. Please tune in next week. David is a wonderful, warm, exciting, and almost childlike. He's just refreshing to be around.
He's nice to hug, too. He gives good hugs.
And another guest we have coming up on March 24th is Ian Henderson from the Netherlands.
We're going international here. Yay!
And Ian is dedicated to reuniting twin flames and twin souls. And on March 24th, his topic will be on dimensions. So please tune in and catch those programs. And thank all of you for being here tonight, and we hope to hear and see you next week.
And before you close off, I would like to thank my partner here at Dream Pastor, Lynn, who is, if you do go to our site, dreampath.ca, I think about 1%, the other 99% is her work, and it's a beautiful site. Please do join us there. Join us here on BBS Radio every Saturday here at the same time. And now we are going to be signing off, so Dawn, get ready.
Dawn.
And
we have a song coming up.
I'm here.
And we have a song called The Opening coming up. We're still on, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're still live.
We're live. Well, okay.
And
are you on with us?
I'm on with you. We're all here.
My goodness. You're just finishing up the Roman win. Hopefully all of that went very well.
It did. It actually went well. Did you hear any of it? I think I left the mic on.
In the background there.
I hear about those horror stories from other people that they go to a studio and somebody leaves the mic on. Well, I just did it to you. It probably didn't feed in there, but you might have heard a little bit of noise in the background.
But we liked it.
All right. Well, thank you. And I'm going to put your song on right away. Folks, stay tuned. This is a fabulous song. It's called The Opening, and we're going to play it right now.
All right.
Dream Path.